Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, boy, here we go. It's hour five of the nation. And it is time now for a mixed bag with Zach Wolchuk. And here he is, the Woolly Bully.
Let's do it. You never know what you're going to get when it's time for a mixed bag here. And we'll start with Major League Baseball postseason. Shout out to the Tigers. They have forced a game five, 9-3. They beat the Mariners. And this was a game Seattle really needed to have because it's Tarek Skubal, who's going to be on the bump tomorrow for the Tigers in a decisive game five.
Did I see that the Tigers are 0-3 with him on the bump against Seattle this year?
They are.
0-2, I think.
Is it 0-2?
They lost. He's got like a sub-5 ERA. It's not been great.
And I will say, game one, not his fault. Not his fault. He pitched an absolute gem.
I thought
it was
so.
The coaches.
I watched that, yeah.
But extra innings, you know, when he gets down, the bullpen gets in, we'll see how deep he's able to go. But you would like the Tigers' chances with Skubal in a game five, because I think, I don't know that you're going to be able to knock him out twice or beat him twice in a series. Now, the Cubs, they are underway against the Brewers. That game is 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth. Cubs leading, trying to hold off elimination here. Brewers looking to punch their ticket to the NLCS with a win. But the Cubs have a foot-long Korean corn dog for the postseason.
Oh, I saw this, man. This thing looks pretty incredible.
Massive.
Huh?
So it's made with crunchy Korean corn dog, sweet hot mustard, bacon, aioli, and chives. And this thing is large and in charge. I don't even see a stick. Oh, there is a very...
Yeah, you see a
very
tiny little
here.
Stick at the bottom.
It's a little tiny, tiny stick. But I think this is like a two-hander.
Well, I mean, you only have... You can basically like thumb and index finger pinch it at the
yeah, like
tip
there's,
at the
there's
bottom.
Not much to grab.
There's not much real estate for your hands.
Holding.
But when I hear Korean, you got me. Like, we're talking food, and you say, hey, I got Korean ...
Yeah.
I'm in.
You're perking.
It's going to have spiciness. It's going to have some sweetness to it. That crunch on...
the crunch.
The crunch on that looks...
They do a great job.
Heavenly, bro.
It does. It looks like that's going to be a really good bite.
Like, eye test-wise, 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. It's passing the eye test. That's for damn sure.
Like, I could use a Korean chicken sandwich. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah,
Korean chicken
that.
Sandwich?
Yeah, I dig that.
I'm in. And I like that they're going with the hot mustard.
I know you're a big hot mustard guy. All right, let's.
I mean, regular mustard is still good, but we have just progressed in the world and evolved in the world of mustard so much. You got to branch out.
The honey mustard, the hot mustard, the Dijon mustard, the Bijon mustard.
It started back in the day with just Grey Poupon, and the next thing you know, there was a brown mustard that had appeared, and now all these different spicy mustards. I like a good jalapeno mustard.
Ooh, jalapeno.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, we go to the New Heights podcast.
Oh Lord.
So Taylor,
the overlaffers?
Yeah, and there'll be some overlapping here. But Taylor Swift has a new album out, which Carter Freeman told us it might
Showgirls,
be...
Showgirls, right?
Might be her worst, yeah.
Since oh, really? Her, did he S on it? Did we get the Carter Freeman...
Remember,
should we get
like,
the full review
he
yet?
He gave the mid-thumb.
He gave the mid-thumb.
I don't know if it was like S-ing on it, just for Taylor Swift standards. Not as good as her other ones. So she's got a song called Wood on the album.
Like W-O-U-L-D, like wood?
W-O-O-D, like I'm going to knock on wood.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And Jason asks Travis about it.
How do you feel about wood? Let's ask this. How do you feel about wood?
It's a great song.
It's a great song? Yeah. Do you feel like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Do you feel cocky? Do you feel cocky about the song Wood?
No. Any song that she
that's
references
not just,
me
that's
in
not just
is
any
very,
song. This is a very specific you.
I love that girl. So what do you mean? Any song that she would reference me in any
Well, it's not
way
just you, though.
Form.
It's an appendage. It's not just you as a...
What?
It's a very specific thing.
I think you're not understanding the song.
You're out of your mind. Jesus Christ, Travis. Come on. Wow. Redwood tree. Ain't hard to see. I thought redwood was a little bit... That's a generous word, I think. I think if somebody wrote a song about me, it'd be like, Japanese maple sometimes can see...
The laughing.
It's like a curtain and drape situation.
So I don't know. Maybe we didn't understand the song, but I thought that it was pretty telling that she might have been singing about
his schwanz. Do you have the lyrics?
I don't.
Could you recite them?
Don't have them.
It's a whole song.
I think
about
it might just be a part
my man's
of it.
Johnson.
I haven't heard.
That's
the
song, crazy.
But
Redwood Tree, it ain't hard to see.
She is smitten. You hear me?
His love was the key that opened my thighs.
Wow.
The whole song. You're supposed to like throw that in the lyrics of another song and, you know, people catch it that way. Not a whole song.
I thought she was like a family wholesome artist.
Song about this guy's dog.
That's propaganda.
Mm. Well, shout to Travis.
I guess he's the girthquake.
Might be.
Hey, what a great advertisement, though. You hear what I'm saying? If it don't work out for you, like all the ladies know.
Yeah.
Made a song about his dome.
It's the Pete Davidson effect.
Yeah. It sure is.
It works out.
It sure is.
It works and out.
He's That's be crazy, in. Dude. She used to be Teardrops on My Guitar. Mm-hmm. She used to be feeling 22.
Everybody evolves, just like Miley Cyrus.
I don't think she's evolving for the better.
For the worse. You
know, I think she decided to get married right as things were kind of falling apart for her.
Yeah.
Damn,
Dawson. Yeah. Physically and artistically.
I was wondering how long it would take to get the get back to sports tweet in, text in. We did. We got one. By the way, Taylor said that she did not deny the NFL. She's just too locked in. She didn't say, I don't want to do it because of any rights deals or anything. She said that there's a possibility Travis could be playing in the game, and that's his sport. And she is very invested in what's going on, and she doesn't want to be thinking about choreography or anything else going on if she's got to perform in the Super Bowl. So
she said that would give him 2 more weeks of bad football. Maybe in the future. Right in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe after he's retired, we can circle back on that. Hey, Texas A&M, here's a reason why the Aggies legit have a chance to win the SEC this year, and I'm buying in on Aggie football. Highest-rated offensive line this year in college football, it's Texas A&M. This is courtesy of PFF. So take what you want. They have the 7th toughest schedule in the country, 1.4 yards before contact. They've been really, really good against the blitz, and they're averaging over 3 seconds of time to throw the football for their quarterback, Marcel Reed. They've been brilliant. Here's reason number 2, and when you look at their defense, the best deer fence on third down in the entire country. Highest-graded defenses on third down, it's Texas A&M number 1, followed by Miami, Ohio State, Auburn, and shockingly, Wisconsin. I didn't think Wisconsin was good at all in any type of football this year, but they're decent on third down defense, apparently.
There's one single redeeming quality about Fickell's squad.
And I wonder if that's also sample size, because I wonder how many times they're even forcing third down.
Yeah, it's probably first down, second down, first down, first down, first touchdown.
Yeah.
Are you interested after seeing Florida play against this Texas A&M offensive line now?
I am, very much so. Because
Was it
Texas's offensive line making their D-line look really good, or is Florida's D-line legit?
I just wonder if Florida, I know LSU played Florida early, and I thought their defensive line was legit.
Okay. Yeah, they
this
are
is gonna be a fun test.
They are, But I'm pretty sure Florida had as many pressures against Texas as they had all season leading up to it.
Yeah, it seemed like every play.
It was just a total dominant performance.
Like I said, I saw LSU and Florida go at it, and they harassed my guy pretty good in that one as well. I'm just interested.
We also get Michigan and USC this week at the Coliseum.
Rose Bowl matchup.
Yep, and now it's a Big Ten matchup. Lincoln Riley was just begging USC fans to show up for an early, I guess for them it would have been a 9 a.m. kickoff against Illinois when they did Big Noon kickoff last week or 2 weeks ago now. It's all blending together. But Sherrone Moore and Lincoln Riley, a little back and forth. Who's really selling out the Coliseum?
We're not celebrating going to Coliseum. There's no pictures and selfies because we're at the nice Coliseum. It's sold out, but it's sold out because Michigan's coming.
Coach, I'm not sure if you saw, but Sherrone Moore said this game's a sellout only because Michigan's coming. So are you kind of expecting a pretty good, solid home field advantage? You know, he's making it seem like there's going to be a lot of Michigan fans in the stands.
Yeah, I don't really care what he says. We're looking forward to playing.
This is the Trojans' first sellout of the 2025 season. Their 8th total since Lincoln Riley took over in 2022. He's also sold out home games against Notre Dame, big alumni base, Washington, the year they went to the national title, UCLA. That's UCLA versus
Crosstown
USC.
Crosstown rival, yeah.
Penn State, pretty big alumni base.
Yeah.
Wisconsin,
pretty big.
Get and out Nebraska.
Yeah, pretty big.
So this is a Michigan thing, more so than a USC
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I saw where Michigan is going to be working out at the Chargers facility. Harbaugh invited
them. Getting there a little early?
Their brand new facility, yeah.
Well, of course.
Yeah, Harbaugh invited them to
the connection.
Work out there.
Is that not violating NCAA rules? Are you going to find something upset wrong with this?
I don't know. I heard that they're working out.
I don't think they have rules anymore.
Yeah,
we got to scrap them. Ohio State. Man, he went ahead and made history. 42-3, Ohio State beat the brakes off of Minnesota. They were not rowing the boat, P.J. Fleck. You were not rowing the boat. Ryan Day now has the highest winning percentage of any coach in college football history, and here was Day at his presser.
I'm glad you brought that up because this is the last game I'll ever be coaching at Ohio State. I'm going to hang it up, and that's it. I'm going to do a walk-off right now. I appreciate being a coach here. No, a long way to go. It has everything to do with the players, the coach in this place. When you recognize how long some of those coaches coached and you recognize, what they went through and, the seasons and the different changes, you just can appreciate how long they coached. And, some of these seasons here are like dog years at Ohio State, but I'm just fortunate to be here. And I know what the obligation is. I know what the expectation is. And so do these players and coaches. So we'll just keep swinging away.
Expectation is to beat Michigan. That team up north, and Ryan Day has won 75 of his 85 games, but he is 1-4 against the Wolverines. Mm. This is going to be a big one this year.
Yeah.
And Michigan, they're thinking they got a playoff shot here. They're like, we got ourselves a quarterback. This freshman's amazing. We might have a chance to can we knock off Ohio State. Can we end up going to the Big Ten title game? Game might be meaning a lot this year. Our buddy Dane Brugler of The Athletic, 6 NFL draft prospects on the rise after week 6 of college football. We start in Lubbock. David Bailey, the edge of Texas Tech, Reckham. He was ranked 29th on Dane's preseason top 50, considered one of the transfer portal's prizes this offseason, going from Stanford to Tech and through 5 games. The Red Raiders' investment has paid off as Bailey currently leads all of college football with 31 pressures. He's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been incredible, dude. He really has. And that Texas Tech defense in general,
really good.
That front seven, they are as fun of a football team to watch at this stage in the season.
It's also tight end Michael Trigg at Baylor. He's been teasing his talent since he had rolled at USC 5 years ago, and after leaving Southern Cal, he spent 2 years at Ole Miss. He's now found a home at Baylor. I don't know. This guy might be 30 years old, but he's already got career best this season in both receiving yards and touchdown grabs. He had 155 yards against K-State, including an amazing fourth quarter sequence, back-to-back plays, just crushing the back of the Wildcats as they were trying to hold on. Brendan Sorsby, quarterback at Cincinnati, has caught his eye. Rod Moore, a safety at Michigan, has been playing really well. And then Jack Golday, the linebacker at Cincinnati, 6'4", 237 pounds, 4.5 speed, range and ability to close, jumps off the screen, 12 tackles against Ohio State in their upset win, including a sack and a forced fumble. So if we're looking for linebackers, Jack Golday, Cincinnati, might be a name to just kind of keep an eye on. We go to Kenny Dillingham. Phone rings during a presser most of the time. What's a coach going to do? You going to ignore it? What's Kenny Dillingham do?
It's not a they're going to disappear forever. Like, Cam, that's my phone. Let's see if it's a recruit. No, not a recruit. I would have answered and laughed. But
priorities, coach. If it's a recruit in today's world, you're answering and you're taking that recruit's call. I love Kenny Dillingham. And I saw videos. It's supposed to rain wherever Arizona State's playing this week, monsoon type weather. Mm. And you've got Sam Levitt, his quarterback, is throwing the football and he is right behind him with the water hose, just absolutely soaking his quarterback.
Oh,
anytime
dude.
Anytime he's about to fire off a pass.
It is hilarious. It's a hilarious visual. Amazing. Man. It is so college football.
Game, playing in Utah.
Game environment, simulation. Yeah, it's supposed to be battling the elements there.
Then the following week, you've got Texas Tech traveling to Tempe.
That's going to be surgical at boom. That's maybe one of the best games of the entire season.
Hey, that's tough sledding, though, for Arizona State going Utah
and
then Texas Tech.
It is. And last year, it's quite pretty sure Arizona State went to Lubbock, beat the crap out of Tech. So Tech's looking for some revenge this year. Would you do this marathon?
I'm sorry, dude. I just
five of them.
I love
this one's going to be interesting.
I love that Kenny Dillingham's the one with the little like pressure soaker. It's not even like an actual hose. They're not even using like the bazooka, water bazooka guns or whatever. He's just shooting this weird thing, and it's actually the head coach that's doing it. It's a great visual.
Hands on.
Very hands on. No question.
All right. Let's wrap up the mixed bag. We had a 50K Taco Bell Ultra Marathon in Denver.
Mm.
It took place last weekend.
Oh, a different marathon.
So this 50-kilometer race, just a hair over 31 miles, weaves throughout Denver with the runners stopping at 10 area Taco Bell locations to eat and drink staples like the Baja Blast, Crunchwrap Supremes, and more. The race itself is said to have a higher do-not-finish rate than the famed Leadville 100 Trail Race, due in large part because of the toll this is going to take on your body.
Yeah.
You got to eat all this crap from Taco Bell while doing this 31-mile race. Do you think you could find a way to do this throughout the race?
And it's digesting.
Yes. You've got to eat a Chalupa or a Crunchwrap Supreme and a Burrito Supreme or Nacho Bel Grande as a requirement. You're only allowed to stop to use the bathroom once, and they're encouraged, even rewarded, for loading up on Baja Blast at each stop and lathering their food in Taco Bell's
Diablo. Do you drink the Mountain Dew?
I couldn't do those. Because
if you do
beverages,
the Mountain Dew and that Taco Bell together, boy, I'm telling you what.
No.
That Baja Blast
is
good.
Can you throw up?
If there's bonus point, that's what I was thinking. I mean,
can you run and throw up?
Throwing up is not going to be allowed.
But regular marathon runners are pooping.
You can too.
You're
out there pooping on the road.
Absolutely.
The poo is kind of like a sign of respect.
Y'all said it like y'all know that.
I've run five of them.
Yeah. Right of passage.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I've completed five marathons.
And
you pulled over and pooed?
Yeah, I've seen people literally at the starting line, like ladies squat down in the corral area and use the restroom right where they were standing.
Is there like $1 million or something if you win? Pat on the back.
That's vile.
And I pooed in the street for this.
Like I said, they like the various.
What is it, San Francisco? Like what the hell?
Doing it for
professional runners that they put them in the corral ahead. So the professional runners start about 6 minutes before you do. So they get them out. And then everybody else.
And the amateurs just start pooing all over themselves.
Yeah. But I've seen people literally at the start line just go to the bathroom right where they're standing.
Wouldn't you just diaper up?
You're chafing. Yeah,
chafing.
Yeah,
you're all those miles.
There's this thing called Glide. You put all over yourself. So
how many miles can you go before like your socks start cutting into your feet and you got all these issues?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You got Glide. Well, you got the stuff called Glide. So every place that where you might have skin that rubs with cloth. You put like all of your toes and your heels and stuff.
Do you glide the nips?
You have to.
Oh, yeah. But there's nipple guards. You can wear these guards that you can wear too.
What do those look like?
There's like little circle band-aids. Like they have a little where they. Like
girl from ESPN have some of them on one time. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're indented. They're indented. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, help. Trust me. I've run where the blood is just poured down my shirt.
For what?
Man, that sounds like it hurts.
It hurts.
Oh, hell yeah. For the love of the game.
The shower afterwards?
We got nipple
hell
guards.
Yes. Like, I'll tell you what, your arms rub like when you're swinging your arms.
Like on your ribs?
So underneath on the side of your bicep, that just blood pouring down your arm from that. Yeah.
Do you still have scars on the...
No. I mean, I learned to use that Glide.
Yeah.
That's what it means. You cannot run a race. You can't run a race without goo and glide.
Goo and glide. You got to goo and glide.
I want to protest against these things.
Seriously, man.
Yeah, you can't have on my street. You pull it in the street, bro. What are we doing?
And it's just no problem. Like, there's no.
Nobody says a
word.
There's
no legal ramifications for dropping a grumper in the middle of the gosh dang street.
Nobody says a word.
It's all part of it. Yep. Brian brought us our marathon insider as well. Learn something every day from this man. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you,
Wolchuk, for that mixed bag. Chief, hodgepodge?
Yeah, man. We have quite the college football proclamation, plus an NBA coach says we're all idiots next to the nation.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for an evening sports hodgepodge with Eric Chiafalo. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Eric.
Just when I thought I couldn't have more respect for Paul Skeens, he goes and does something like this. After the intro.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone
listening
to you guys?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
Paul Skeens.
Go Tigers.
He's got he's bought two new cribs. He's got one in Florida, and yeah. him and Libby Dunn have some type of condominium in New York City, but it's Florida home. He has revealed his most prized possession.
The bathroom.
He has in his kitchen an MLB style hot dog roller. A hot dog grill. Like you might find, obviously at the ballpark, you might find it at 7-Eleven, gas station near you. Yeah. Just hot dogs rolling at all hours of the day at any moment. Yeah. He can just snag a dog.
I'm looking at one of these right now myself.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
These have become super popular.
Yeah.
For your crib?
Social media.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, that's interesting. I thought he was kind of.
For my studio.
Oh, for the studio?
Yeah, for the studio. Hot dogs rolling while we're in the studio, yeah.
Hey, respect on that. So this is a thing now. This is kind of trendy?
Yeah. It's all right. Sweet, yeah.
With like the area that like keeps TikTok. The buns warm and then the hot dogs rolling.
Exactly. You think that thing would hold a chicken wing?
It's pretty cool.
I think I could put drums on there.
Dude, now
spin
see,
that, thing. Ooh,
that would be even more impressive.
That's neat.
That would be phenomenal.
Crisp it up. Keep it warm.
The orange magic roller.
And how long does a dog stay good on one of those? Like 3 hour max?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
He's got this thing plugged in, so like every 4 hours you gotta go to your hot dog roller and change out for new ones.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs a day you eat? No, I guess ultimately you're only doing it on days you're gonna be for sure eating dogs.
Yeah. And if the guys are coming over, you got family over,
poker game or something like that.
But don't you think it should level it up? And we talk about this all the time, but this should be, I know it's hot dog roller. It should be a brat roller.
Yeah.
It's just come on.
Yeah. At least Earl Campbell's.
Yeah. Yeah, get you a hot link in there.
Bratwurst, you know, maybe some boudin.
Personally, yeah.
Boudin. See,
yeah, the boudin. The thing I worry about, though, is like the thing with the brats are so much better than a normal hot dog. Am I right about that?
100%.
Yes, that's my whole argument.
Italian sausage. A lot of better ways you could go with this.
Yeah, I think we need to develop one of those instead of just a hot dog roller.
Well, to be fair, I think you could just throw the brat on the hot dog roller. You know?
I don't know. It might.
Might be too thick.
Too thick.
Oh, wow. Well, speaking of thickness, Big Dumper.
Get the best of us sometimes.
Yeah.
He hit that.
Taylor's going to write a song about it.
Yeah, the hot dog roller.
Yeah, the hot dog roller.
Maybe that's what her song was about. Maybe he's got a hot dog roller in the crib. Did you guys like the Big Dumper situation where he cranks the homer?
And it went right to the fan that had the
dump 61 dump here.
Yep.
And that's the fan that ends up catching.
They changed his shirt. So 62. Yeah.
Dude.
It was scripted sport, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, I don't know. I just think that was a really fortuitous situation. Mm. And happy for that guy.
Very happy.
Happy for the Dumper, even though his team took a big fat L. What, we got Toronto's up 1-0 right now on the Yanks?
Currently, Blue Jays up.
That's how things are sitting. NCAA closer to letting Division I athletes bet on pro sports. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know if this was a ball sack or not, though, so I was scared to run with it.
Eric's never scared to run with it.
Maybe the S in ESPN stands for sack.
ESPN put it out.
ESPN put it out.
That's not who I saw put it out.
David Purdom. Yeah, so.
Who the hell is David Purdom?
He works for ESPN, Walchuk. I mean, gosh dang it. Know your sports writers, bro.
Never heard of this guy.
I mean, get with the gosh dang program. So, you're going to be able to. Now, this is just Division I.
Okay.
I think that this will probably bleed into D2, D3 at a later date. But when it comes to gambling on professional sports, the athletes have been all but given the green light at this point. So, just wanted to throw that out there because. I mean, why not? With the boys throwing a little Prize Picks action on some NFL games.
They're so good at monitoring,
not gambling,
like questionable gambling patterns. They can spot this coming from a mile away now.
It's a good point.
Not a threat to them.
It's a good point by every one of you.
Thank you,
including you, Walter.
Clarification.
Now we do have a little college football situation that we are monitoring. Brent Venables was asked about John Mateer, where he'll be listed on the SEC availability report. Can anybody check and see if that's actually out yet? Because I'm not seeing it anywhere. Like, what time does the availability report drop? Because he says it'll come out tonight and everyone will get that information on Mateer at the same time. So I don't know exactly what time that drops, but I'm guessing any minute now we could be getting the
7 o'clock.
Okay. Wow. Fan After Dark will be breaking some news about John Mateer. Yep.
I did see they're going to add padding around the brick wall after Keontez Lewis had that scary incident.
In Oklahoma? It's about damn time.
Yeah.
That was egregious, dude.
Crazy,
that's,
man,
like lawsuit stuff. What are we doing? What are we doing building a stadium with a brick wall right there behind the goalpost, basically?
It hasn't happened before.
I know.
Especially it looks really
it not
cool.
not padded anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. On a game brick days. Wall?
Yeah.
Terrible. SEC, we put hedges around that, so you just go right into the hedges before you hit the bricks.
I mean, even NASCAR does the safer barrier. You're in a damn car.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Took a guy dying to do that.
All sorts of rumors about whether or not Mateer's going to play. All we know is this is a must-win game for the Texas Longhorns. Yeah. That is for sure. CJ Vogel covers the Longhorns. He says, my biggest issue with Texas football is through five games, I can pinpoint to maybe three guys who I know are going to outwardly express emotion and leadership in a given game or situation. Everyone else is just along for the ride. It's just a this is just a downer football team right now.
Yes,
downer football team across the board, and this is their last chance to really kind of right the ship. Mm. Now, how about this? South Carolina, the Gamecocks,
playing at LSU this weekend.
Yes, they are. Confidence meter?
I'm going to go about a 6.5.
Okay. I mean, night game at LSU?
6.5.
Come on now.
You're going to kick their ass.
They go LSU, OU, Bama, Ole Miss, and A&M. That's how their season goes right now.
South Carolina?
Yes.
That is awful.
That's 11th rank, 6th rank, 8th rank, 4th rank, 5th rank. That is an absolute
just means
gauntlet. And one person from South Carolina has made the proclamation.
We're going undefeated.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
What'd they say?
Sellers say they're going undefeated?
Remember the K-State guy with the burrito booth?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And the FSU eat the dog-ass kind of stuff?
Yeah.
This guy is claiming if the Gamecocks go 5-0 during this gauntlet of a stretch, he says, I will
eat a raw chicken.
I think this is worse.
Drink his urine.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to say what it is, and then you guys can decide if it's worse than those things.
Okay.
Does Lucius need to hover over the dump button?
Potentially.
Okay.
I mean, Brian just already just said some wild stuff. I was like, damn, he said that.
He really did.
He just said
getting
that.
Loose.
I just said. Is it wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
Think we can dwell on
let's
it.
I don't know. Yeah, let's not.
We're okay. It's not about to get much better, boys.
I'm sorry about that, Lucius.
I will butt funnel an Oreo McFlurry.
Okay.
Funnel.
That's not worse than what I said?
Just say they'll chug an Oreo McFlurry in the rectum.
Butt funnel?
First of all, you know, a total waste of a good Oreo McFlurry.
Yeah, it is.
Let's start there. The disrespect. Like, why can't you be butt funneling something that nobody likes?
I don't know.
Are there taste buds in there?
Wow.
There's got to be, yes.
We should ask that guy who had the old reversal.
Isn't it bad with, like, alcohol? Isn't, like, bad the alcohol in your...
It goes right to
the bloodstream.
Yeah,
it works.
But it could kill you, right?
It'd be bad sugar. The sugar content of this McFlurry could really be lethal.
This guy is not doing that because LSU's going to beat South Carolina.
The blood sugar.
Yeah, the odds that he's going to have to do this are very slim. But I still kind of love this.
I think that was when I bailed on that show, Black Mirror.
You bailed on Black Mirror?
I did. I think it was episode 2 or 3 when that guy...
Why'd you bail on it?
Was butt funneling a pig.
That episode just was...
Oh, that was AI.
That was AI?
Yeah, well, kind of. They were forcing him to do it, and then it got crazy. Yeah. Have you seen that, Eric? You
I
see
think
that?
I...
No, you should see that.
Really?
Yeah, you should see that.
You think he'd watch that?
You got to watch that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a wild show.
That seems pretty ridiculous. All right.
I don't know why I didn't watch any more of it.
Yeah. But, I'll put it in the queue.
That one was jarring. Well,
party girls do that too, by the way, with their mollies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why not just eat it?
I don't know, fam.
It's just the I think it just hits quicker.
Yeah.
I think it just maybe a little harder. There's a bloodstream.
We don't have
factor.
A lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to you. And you're like, where's that finger going?
Curfew's at midnight. Here.
Just go ahead and get it in.
No, no, mine fell out.
No.
Oops. Gives you more bang for the buck, I guess.
I guess so. So let me ask you guys this. Obviously, Broadus, maybe you don't answer because we know you're biased, but are you going to be rooting for the Gamecocks? Or?
He's not biased.
No, bias.
Uh-huh. What?
He's not rooting for the Gamecocks.
No, I'm not. Hell no,
I will be rooting for them, yeah. Just for the McFlurry.
Right. Okay.
I'll be rooting for whoever Brian's rooting for.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'll all right. Take my lead.
Yeah.
Did you guys see J.J. Redick just
That's
trying to dunk on us?
Story, by the way.
Yeah, I hate
this. J.J. Redick's dunking on us?
Lakers head coach. He's trying to.
Didn't think he'd do that since his days at Duke.
He's dunking on media?
A metaphorical dunk, because they asked him about the LeBron James ball sack decision.
We're really not the media.
Quote, you guys are idiots. Yep. We all knew it was an ad, right? Nobody was freaking out. Just completely nullifying the fact that all of the final home game regular season tickets on TickPick for the Lakers skyrocketed from $80 to $500. Like, nobody was freaking out. Everybody knew it was an ad. He's a jackhole.
Yeah, I figured, you know, they had a great video trailer with him going to sit down and have a conversation. You know, I thought there was at least a 50% chance that it was a real announcement of some kind, considering the weirdness over the last month.
Yeah.
He's not showing up for camp.
I just didn't think he would ever do that again. He said it was a bad decision for him to do that, and I don't think he would ever do it again. I didn't see the liquor coming, but I definitely seen some type of ad.
Yeah.
Did he show up in the same shirt that he did the first one in?
Oh, gosh. Oh, God.
I don't know.
It kind of looks
I know his hairline
similar.
Looked a little bit better this time
looks
around.
It's kind of similar.
I think
he showed up in the same shirt he did the first one in.
See? You know, he had it lined up. Yeah. Maximum effect. It worked. I'm not mad at him for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just... It is. I don't even. It is what it is. But
I wish I was still drinking. I'd go get me a bottle.
Yeah.
The white Hennessy that you get on vacation. Everybody's got a bottle of that at the house.
This is like a collector's item, though. Is that what this is going to be? That
yeah.
he's doing.
Yeah.
Like you're going to buy this and maybe not even open it. You're just going to yeah.
so.
Sit it on
Those
the
people that spend $800 for tickets are sure happy right now.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah. You got tickets. You got $800 tickets to the Utah Jazz game.
There is still a pretty good chance it's his last game, though, don't you think?
I think there's a fair chance, absolutely. And tease for tomorrow, football and blunts. That's what Sean Smith did.
Okay. That is a hell of a tease. Yeah, that's for the hodgepodge tomorrow, football and blunts.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Thank you, Chief. All right. Coming up next, we'll crosstalk with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Wednesday night. And we're back with more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. You got the Cowboys Hour coming up with Bobby Belt and Nate Newton, and they're going to have former Cowboys defensive end Anthony Spencer on the show with them. So that'll be 7 to 8. Then you'll get the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. And Blake's in studio right now. Fred must be on his way to the stud.
Fred is doing the Mythical High School show that
Mythical.
Apparently is a Wednesday and a Friday thing now. It's becoming more and more mythical as time goes along. I just don't think he likes show prepping with me. We called yesterday during our show prep and we yelled at each other for about 20 minutes. So maybe that was the reason.
You guys have a wonderful relationship, though. Yeah.
No, it honestly breeds the best radio, yelling at each other before the radio. You get all that rage and emotion. And I told him already, I think he's a little. The Chiefs loss, he said it didn't bother him. But in our everyday conversation since, it's kind of like there's a little bit of a
he's
mood.
Concerned.
There's a little bit of concern, you know.
I mean, this is getting pretty contentious, though. If it comes down to it, do you think you can take Fred?
No, I think Fred's got that grown man strength, so I'll give him the dub for now. But he's got to be on his toes, you know. I want him guessing. I don't want him thinking that you know he's got it all set up. I'll be in the corners waiting, in the shadows waiting, if you know need be.
He's got a screw loose too.
I usually got Dylon producing. That's a slapper. I got Trevor that'll take down Fred. I think all the producers together collectively could take down Fred.
And they'd be on your side?
Oh, for sure. over Fred? 100%. You can ask any of them.
Okay.
Do a poll.
All right.
We'll poll it.
Poll it.
I'm always looking forward to the next Fan After Dark. It's coming up 8 to 11. Tomorrow on our show, we're going to have the Jake Ferguson show, 520, the man who is on a record pace for tight ends.
I think it's all because of us.
You got Danny Cannell at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Do we got a Dallas Stars guest tomorrow as well?
No Dallas Stars guest. We did it today because we're so loaded tomorrow. Okay. So we'll have Joe Person covers the Panthers from The Athletic at 6 p.m.
Big name.
His name's Joe Person.
Yeah, looking forward to that. It seems like the Cowboys might be taking this Rico thing pretty seriously. This is crazy to me. I don't care what Rico says.
I love it. Whatever for NFL players, you got a bulletin board material. You take it where you can get it.
Yeah, and I love that they're reacting to the bulletin board material.
Yeah.
I feel like under Mike or Jason Garrett, they'd be like, oh, you know, we don't want to talk about it. But Kenny Clark said, man, he's got to back it up. I'm not much into talking. They haven't played anybody like us. We haven't played them.
Those are some fighting words right there. They haven't played nobody good.
Oh, Miami's defense pretty close.
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
There's been some
swap the decals, and you're like, yep.
There's some flashes.
Yeah, I like this. I mean, I like the Cowboys are up for the challenge, but after watching Breece Hall run all over them, I think I'd be a little humble right now. Maybe they feel like they got something to prove.
They really do.
And they do.
Can I ask you a niche question, Broadus, and you might have answered it. The two best linebackers on the Cowboys right now are who? Two best linebackers, the one that give you the most productivity, that know where they need to be in their spots. What two would you pick right now? They need to be on the field as much as possible.
Well, you need to keep playing. The guys at the end of the game the other day, I personally don't think with Sam Bourne. I mean, I just think you're limited what you could do range-wise, and you're going to need somebody back there at linebacker that can get to the play, because they've had trouble with, you know, when the ball carriers have gotten past the line of scrimmage. If Sanborn's late, there's another 10 yards added to the play.
He's been late a lot.
So you better get guys that can run to the ball. And I think that James is one of those guys.
Shamar, yep.
Yeah. And then, like I said, I wish Damone Clark knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I wish Damone Clark had better
awareness,
a better understanding of where he needed to be and stuff. But yeah, I think right now it's Murray. I watched Dawson's guy today from the Browns.
There you go.
Bush.
Yeah.
And like watching just three games of him playing. And I'll tell you what, he by far would absolutely help this team with the way he plays, taking on blockers, getting off blocks, filling holes, playing square, getting to where he needs. Good tackler. Yeah. If they're really interested in moving on from a guy like that, that's what you need to do. Every day we need to find two or three guys like that.
Yep.
Is what you need to do.
Could you see them being like active at the trade deadline and saying, hey, this is the year we need well, we have influx at some positions.
I think this team in the next three games has got to prove to the owner, general manager, that they deserve a trade.
Okay.
You go out there and you fumble around and get beat by Carolina, then somehow win a Commanders game, then get beat at Denver. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm interested in moving assets for a 500 team.
But to your question, I don't think there's any linebackers here. There's no combination of two that you would feel trust in.
Like, it's third down, it's late in the game. I got to have these two guys, because there's been a rotation at defensive end, at corner, at safety, at linebacker. And linebacker's one where I feel like everybody's opinion is kind of
like you say, if you could, Overshown doesn't count in your.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the only ones that are available now, I guess, I just play James and Marist.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least Leofau can give you some big play. Yeah. Maybe
like
force a fumble.
He's flying around. Not always the right place, but he's yards. Flying around.
The problem, they both like run under blocks or run around blocks and get caught out of position.
It's not perfect. Indeed. Yeah. We'll have more tomorrow, 2-7. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You just went 5 flawless like it was nothing. Got us stuck on automatic. Thanks to Woolchuck and Schiafalo as well, and Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Back tomorrow at 2 for Brian Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson, and you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.